Hey guys, hello everyone, and welcome to our next episode of Game Train Podcast, episode 11. Before we get into it, thank you so much to all our new listeners and the new passengers that have jumped on board. We really appreciate you guys. This is Carl speaking, and I've got Callan with me.
Hello.
And we're going to talk to you guys about games and a whole bunch of news here, and we've got a double feature to talk about, some cool reviews and...
Yeah, big episode.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's just get right into it. Let's jump into the news. The Atari box design was revealed. Looks like the old school style. They've got that wood grain finish. It will be crowdfunded, and they are hinting at old and new technology for games, but still mostly hints. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but something is going on, and it's interesting. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but I'm keen to find out.
Nintendo has finally launched its online chat app. You can download it now, and it has a lot of Splatoon 2 features in it as well at the moment.
Doom scraps Season Pass and gives everyone free multiplayer DLC. So if you guys have an old copy sitting around and you haven't jumped in, get on that right now, because there's a whole bunch of new content that's just all been added on for free.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming in 2018, it's been announced. When in 2018, we don't know, just sometime in 2018. Also, a Toy Story level was shown off as well, which looks amazing.
Todd McFarlane to direct and write the new Spawn movie, which I am crazy excited about.
New DLC for Crash Bandicoot has dropped. It's a super hard level that was cut from the original game, so if you like a challenge, go download it. I will be skipping this myself.
Yeah, no,
because
thank
I don't
you.
Want to put myself through that again.
Listen to last episode if you want to know why we are not touching that.
Yep. So even the developers have actually said they took it out of the original game because it was too hard.
Oh, no, thank you. Ni No Kuni delayed to January 19, 2018, and no multiplayer confirmed. The game director Akihiro Hino said, "I misunderstood the interview question, thinking it was asking about online content in general, and my answer referred to online announcements of in-game events. As a result of this, I wrongly gave the impression that the game features multiplayer content. So there is no multiplayer. It's the same giant RPG story that we expect. I'm pretty bummed about the delay, but I'm damn excited to play this game either way, so all good."
Ghost Recon Wildlands has multiplayer
multiplayer?
It's already a multiplayer game.
No way!
Wait, I just showed it. Oh, really? No, scrap that. Okay. Ghost Recon Wildlands is bringing PvP to the game. It's called Ghost War. It's going to be 4v4 team deathmatch with a variety of different classes, which all have different abilities and strengths and weaknesses.
That sounds interesting. I might actually jump back in and try that, I think.
Well, the game's going for quite cheap now, so...
Ooh, might be worth it.
Yeah.
Telltale announces New Walking Dead, which is going to be their last season, and that'll come next year. New Wolf Among Us, which is going to be also the second half of 2018. And New Batman, which will be August 8th. And lastly,
Witcher 3 has a 4K update coming at the end of this year. So if you want your Witcher 3 to look prettier, wait till then.
All right, and that's the news. So we're going to jump straight in now to games we've been playing. The first one is Wipeout Omega Collection on the PS4, remakes of the old Wipeout games, three of them, Wipeout HD, Wipeout HD Fury, and Wipeout 2048. There's 26 reversible circuits, 46 unique ships, there's a ton of new stuff in this. It's gorgeous to look at, gorgeous to play. It is 60 frames per second, super smooth gameplay. To me, it feels like this is what these futuristic games were built to be played like, especially on a very big, beautiful screen. It's really living up to what it used to feel like when you were young and first saw those games. It kind of feels like that again. I'm blown away by all the races, and the music still rocks. It's still a really awesome part of the game, so I'm really enjoying that. Also, I've been wanting to try this for ages, but I finally did it, the Forza Horizon 3 Hot Wheels DLC.
Can you do loop-de-loops?
You certainly do loop-de-loops. If you've seen the trailer, this game is just as fun as it looks, thank God, because I was just watching the trailer going, please be good, please be good, please be good. They put these giant Hot Wheel plastic tracks on top of the gorgeous islands and backdrop of Forza Horizon 3, but you're also racing Hot Wheels cars. So if you, you know, if you remember those cars that they sold at like the Servo or the toy shop or like Woolies and Coles, they're just these like outrageous designs with flames and pipes and skulls or futuristic shapes and giant wheels. But you can race them like alongside your Holden Commodores and your Sandmans or Ferraris. Like, it is just this weird child's dream coming to life on the screen in front of you. And if I would have told anybody that this was possible 20 years ago as little Carl, they would have just laughed at me and just said, you're making that up as something that you would just want to play more than anything. It's so fun. I really think it already is, but even more so from this and from the Blizzard DLC, that Forza Horizon 3 is the best racing game in years.
I played Final Fantasy 12, the Zodiac Age.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, it's not my favorite Final Fantasy. It's probably lower on my rankings of the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's is it above 10-2?
No.
It's not above 10-2. Wow.
No, I finished 10-2. I never finished Final Fantasy 12.
I mean, that doesn't tell you whether you like it more or not, but if you don't, then you don't. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad so far. Like, it looks nice and all that. They've changed the license system slightly in it as well from the original.
Okay.
Which took me off guard. I remember in the original one, each character had their own license board, and that you slowly unlock throughout the game. While in this one, you actually choose a job for them.
Oh, yeah.
So you could make Varn be a white mage, like a healer if you wanted.
Interesting.
So that sort of took me off guard a little. I'm like, oh, gee, I don't know what I'm doing here now. you know,
yeah.
Obviously certain jobs suit certain characters better. So there's 12 jobs. Now, the Japanese version of Final Fantasy XII was actually set up like this, but you could only choose one job a person. So there were 6 jobs that you actually never picked up throughout the game. But in this remastered version, you can actually give each person 2 jobs.
Okay.
So you can use all 12 jobs up. I haven't played much of the game, though. I'm still in the first sort of city, which is only like 2 hours into the game or whatever it is, yeah. Past the initial start bit.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it, you know, it looks clean and all that. Yeah, I'll see how it goes. I've got to play more of it to really pass judgment.
Oh, good. Hopefully I can help you pass judgment on that, because I really want to jump into that one as well. I've been pretty curious. I really liked the first one on PS2.
Mister, I like this better than Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
No.
Yep, what's up?
We're not going to start this right now because we don't have time.
All right, we don't have time, but maybe we can do a separate...
Varn is the most boring lead in a Final Fantasy game there has been.
Correct. All right.
He doesn't even appear in World of Final Fantasy.
We will discuss this on a Final Fantasy Battles episode special of Game Train. Lastly, not really a game, but I watched the first 2 episodes of the Castlevania show on Netflix.
So you watched half the season?
Half the entire season, yes. You're welcome. So I watched, what is it? They're 25 minutes each, so I've watched 50 minutes.
Wow, that's really short.
Yeah, the whole thing is pretty much just one movie. They feel so short. So when I finish this, I'll just watch the next 2, you know, while preparing dinner or something, and that'll be the whole season done. Having said that, though, I loved it. I loved the first 2, and this is an interesting viewpoint because, don't hate me, I've never played a Castlevania game ever.
Really?
Ever, zero. This is my first Castlevania anything. So,
well, I guess you'll be excited about your SNES Mini then.
Yes, I'm very excited about it for that very reason. But yeah, I think it's awesome. Like, I wish they were longer, and I don't get it. Dracula's supposed to be a bad guy, but they really make you feel for him in that first episode. So I don't know. I'm not sure what happens to him in this, but the animation's awesome. The storytelling's nice and quick and precise and simple, but still deep enough to be interesting. The characters feel real. I'm really enjoying it.
Cool. So the main thing I've been playing, well, apart from our review games, is the Destiny 2 beta.
Ah, yes.
So Activision was nice enough to send through a code for the beta before it went open, so I got like a day or two of closed beta. The game's being developed by Bungie again and published by Activision. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on September 6th. So this was just a time beta of just a few days. So it was just the first level of the game, two multiplayer maps, and one strike map.
Nice.
So I gave everything a go to test it all out. I played the Warlock class. So for those that don't know, I've never played Destiny before, so this is the first time I've played a Destiny game. Yeah, so yeah, look, I didn't mind the beta. I had no idea what was going on in the first level of the game, though. There was just all these characters, and there's like an invasion happening, and I'm like, okay, I'm shooting people up, and I'm shooting out these abilities. I'm like, okay, this is cool. So that probably went for about 30 minutes to an hour, that first level, maybe.
Okay.
And the Warlock class seemed fun from what I was doing. I didn't play the other classes, but yeah, I just played the Warlock class.
Warlock is pretty awesome. I was a Hunter.
What is it? It's the Hunter is the other one, and
Titan.
And a Titan, that's right. Yeah, two multiplayer maps. I got cleaned up big time in multiplayer. Like,
yep.
I had nothing. Like, I'm like, cool. And I was getting shot. I go, hey, there's a player. Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know, I got destroyed in multiplayer the first time I played it. The second time I played it, because I gave it a couple of goes, I came back and actually, you know, won against some people. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty fast. You know, a few minutes of battle. It was good. You know, what you sort of expect from multiplayer maps. And I played the strike map that came out. So it's a three-player strike map, which I guess is the best way to talk about this if you've played, like, other MMOs, etc. It's just like a instance dungeon or area that you do with other players.
Yep, or if you've played the other Destiny.
Or the other Destiny. So, yeah, this was a three-player strike map. It went for about probably 30 minutes or so. The only issue I really had with it, like, it was fun, but the last boss was just a bit too bullet spongy.
Yeah.
We'd seen all of his abilities and what he can do and all that by, like, you know, half his health was down. It just went for too long.
Yeah, that tends to happen a little bit in the old Destiny.
Maybe cut off his HP by about a third and it would have been a bit tighter sort of a fight.
Yeah.
But other than that, look, I enjoyed the beta.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be reviewing the full game when it comes out. It was a nice little taste of the game.
Yeah, that's true. If you guys have noticed, I've been very quiet through this beta preview because I was sadly on tour when we got the beta code. And I wasn't able to jump on and give it my own preview,
yeah.
Which I would have loved to because I was a massive fan of the first Destiny and put a lot of hours into it. So I'm extremely excited about this and I'm extremely jealous of Callan being able to jump in and play that. But yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes out. So that was games we've been playing. No, that wasn't. What was that?
That was my preview of Destiny 2.
So that was the preview of Destiny 2. Thank you so much, Callan. I wish I could have given all of you a bit more of my opinions, but I was happy to hear some from a fresh player, so that's an interesting viewpoint anyway. Let's move on to our feature games section this week, which is a double feature. The first one is Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, developed by Brisbane-based Prideful Sloth and published by Merge Games. It is an open-world, combat-free farming adventure game. It's very focused on exploration, building a farm, creating, you know, being part of a community and meeting people in this new land and discovering everything around it. It's extremely therapeutic to play. There's no stress in it. You can't...
There is zero stress. You can't die.
You can't die. There's no combat. It sounds like not a game at all, but I don't know. I feel like it's something that the gaming world could do with more of, because things like if you're a parent and you have children and you want to help them play some games and you want them to have big adventures, it's so hard to find quality, pretty adventures that aren't stressful or aren't hard or that they don't have to think about. They can just kind of walk around all day and enjoy themselves and learn to discover and have adventures, you know, because so many even beautiful games like Zelda are just a bit too challenging for like younger audiences or even older audiences if you just want to sort of just really chill after a long day and play a game, relax, and just,
yeah,
you know, don't get pushed around, which sometimes some gamers want. Like, we don't all want constant stress and like shooting and killing and leveling up, and which is all awesome fun, but yeah, there is a certain mood that I feel like there's this big gap in the industry, which this is filling very nicely.
Yeah, it's one of those games I felt when playing it, it was best taken in little half an hour chunks.
Yep.
So I sat down for a few hours and played it in one big hit, and by the end of it, I was like, okay. But when I was just doing it in the 30-minute chunks, it felt so much better.
Yeah, all right.
That brief sort of, all right, let's go and head this way on the map, because from the get-go, you can pretty much wander the whole map.
Yeah.
There's an island which you need a boat to get across from a quest, but other than that, really, you can pretty much traverse just about anywhere. Like, there is really no rules. There is a story quest to follow, but you can just pretty much just chill, walk around, chop down some trees, get some seeds, plant them in those tree holes.
Yep. Slowly build your farm. And
that was the thing as well, because like, I got the axe, and right, and I was like out there, I'm just like hitting every tree down.
Yep.
Then I realized, oh, there's like a little meter on how many trees in an area you've planted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to replace the trees? Whoops. So I've just gone in devastation mode.
Did you just have this barren wasteland?
So now I'm running around trying to get seeds and replant all these trees. Jeez.
So Callan's version, Yonder, the post-apocalyptic Cloudcatcher Chronicles.
Oh, I was given an axe and I saw trees, so I just, I went for it.
Wow.
Oh, I wanted my stockpile of wood so I can build, like, shelters for my animals.
Yeah, which is fun, too. I really like the farm and building that and placing it. It's very simple, but it's like, it's just enough to make something that you feel like is yours, and then you collect the animals. They produce milk and things like that for you to build up other things. If you played Stardew Valley or Harvest Moon before, you'll really kind of get a grasp of what this is. It's kind of like a 3D adventure, very pretty, very smooth to play version of that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think the landmass is big enough for what the game is as well.
Yep.
Like, at first I'm like, oh, it's not overly big. But then after exploring it for a while, I'm like, it's actually big enough. Because you do a lot of going from one side of the island to the other, like doing quests for people or having to pick up things.
Yeah.
There is some fast travel points, but they're kind of spread out.
Also, you're not overly fast.
No.
So I wouldn't want it to be much bigger. Like, I wish there was a run. I had a similar complaint when I was playing Rhyme, which I loved as well, but wish it was just a bit faster. Now, I don't know if that's got to do with something like, you know, processing speed of the game itself and part of, you know, what's important in development, and maybe making you move slower helps the game look as gorgeous and run as smoothly as it does.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the case. I wish you could go just a little bit faster.
The game's got like quite a nice art style to it as well. It's very cartoony.
I love it. It's so charming.
Yeah, that's probably the best word for it, that nice, charming feel to it. The music suits as well.
Yeah.
Sort of goes through that whole charming theme. It's all very relaxing, as we've said.
Yeah, and super smooth to control, and look at that. Like, the lighting is gorgeous as well.
And there's a fair bit to craft in the game as well.
Yeah.
Like, you join a couple of different guilds throughout the game, and there's a lot of different things you can craft, from, like, clothes to shelters for animals, food. There's a whole heap of different food recipes that you can learn and make.
Yeah. So while you're playing the super hard Zelda Breath of the Wild, your little brother or sister or your child could be playing this and being, you know, just like mum and dad and doing their version of the same stuff.
Well, I felt like it's a game for all ages. Like, you could give this game to a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old.
A 5 or a 7? Wow, that 70. Wide range of ages.
Oh, 70-year-old. Come on, man.
Sorry, I was like, wow, that man, look at you, just stretching the range, you know, like, everyone can play this.
I know, right? No, I mean, like, you know, it could be a really young person or an older person.
Yeah,
like,
that's very true.
It's just a very simple game. As we said, it's relaxing, it's easy on the eye, no stress, like... You know, you can't even die by falling down, because you jump off a cliff or whatever, and your little character will open up his little umbrella and go floating down like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, which is just the cutest thing when you see it the first time. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, the hell did that come from?
Yep. And you go into water, and then you just appear back on land.
They do it well, because the thing is, a game could have this kind of same description and just be boring as hell. But there's something about the charm and the music and how, I don't know, the fluidity of the movement that kind of keeps it therapeutic instead of boring. Like, there's a very clear line there.
But there's always something to do as well. Like, in my quest log, I've got about 15 quests like, yeah, backed up in there at the moment.
Fills up the screen. That's so true.
Like, there's a lot to do in terms of quests and things. I guess one little knock I've got on it is that a lot of the quests are a little too fetch questy.
Yep.
It's yeah, like, that's oh, true. Oh, go get this. And then you go to the next person. Oh, I need this. And you just, it's sort of like back and forth like that. I guess I would have liked to see a little variety in quests in what you can do.
That's true. One thing I was not too keen on was the day and night cycle seemed really quick.
Yeah. I would have liked a way to fast forward through the night because I didn't really enjoy the night that much. I preferred the daytime when everything is bright and colourful.
Yeah, the night is like quite dark, actually. Yes. And I think that's to show off the lighting, but your sort of your view distance, your draw distance, I should say, just kind of vanishes, which is sad because the draw distance is very impressive in daytime. Like, you can, everything, it doesn't blur out that much. Everything's quite clear and really fills out the world and the land. Like, when you stand on a high up spot and look into the distance, you see the little villages and the little lights and people. And, I don't know, I think it's really pretty, which is a pity when it's like super dark. But yeah, I guess the good thing is because of the fast day-night cycles, nights don't last long, but then days don't last long and so on and so forth.
Yep. I think, like, this game has come out on PC through Steam and PlayStation 4.
Yep.
I think this game would be awesome on the Switch.
Oh, God,
like, being able to just travel with it and have a 30-minute burst here and there. Like, yeah. I think that would be almost a perfect Switch game in the way that, you know, it's just, it would just work so well on the Switch, I feel.
Oh, I really think so. That'd be so nice to see a Switch port. That would be its audience to the T.
Yep.
Also, I have to mention, when you first start, the character creator edit is super simple. You can just sort of change your hair color and stuff, which I was a bit disappointed at. But throughout the game, there's so much to add with costumes and glasses and beards and strange, you know, hats. And that there is a lot more that you can grow and build onto your character. Like, if you want to see some examples, Callan threw a lot of the screenshots on our Facebook page, and you'll see what I mean. And I'm sure there's lots of screenshots out there, but yeah, if you just jump on facebook.com/gametrainpodcast and have a look on there, it's not as simple as it first looks. So the game is so much deeper and more intricate than it appears, but it doesn't throw it or force it all on you, which I love about it.
Yeah, I was disappointed that I couldn't put a beard on my starting character. But then I found a beard in the game and bam, straight on my character.
Yep.
That's it. Yep. You know, I was like, oh, there are beards in this game.
So fear not, there are beards in this game.
Yep. So, for me, I feel like it's a good game. It set out what it wants to be, you know, this no combat sort of exploration game. I think what it wants to do, it does well. And I've given it 8 out of 10 carriages.
Nice. The thing I like about this game is it does everything it promised. And I went in there sort of not expecting more than what it was. And it felt better to play than it looked even. So I think I'd give it a similar score, to be honest. And I'm giving it 8 carriages out of 10, actually. When I say similar, I mean exactly the same.
Well, yeah, if you want a nice, relaxing, simple game, go get it and give it a go.
It is really wonderful for what it is. So all I'd say is look into it before you buy it. And if it's something you think you're interested in, I guarantee you'll like this. So that was Yonder. And now for our second game from our double feature, Splatoon 2. Now, everyone's been waiting for this one. This is developed and published by Nintendo. It is their sequel to their competitive paint shooter, you could call it. It's like a shooter. It's not first person. It's third person shooter, team-based. But with paint, you're not killing people, you're not using bullets, you have all different kind of paint guns and paint brushes and rollers.
Paint rollers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and buckets even.
Paint buckets of paint.
It's really, really cute. And yeah, usually the idea, especially in the multiplayer versus mode, is instead of killing everyone, which you can do, but only as a distraction, you're more kind of trying to fill as much of the arena with your colored paint as possible.
Yeah, they call it turf war, so you're pretty much just painting as much of your turf as possible, or trying to, you know, get rid of their paint by painting over their paint with your paint.
Yeah, and then walking in their paint slows you down and hurts you and so on and vice versa, or you can turn into a squid and swim inside your own paint faster so you can use it strategically and paint up walls and things.
Yeah, and you can go cruising up walls or just use it as pathways to get around the map quicker. There's a couple of other modes as well. There's like a almost capture the flag like mode where you got to capture this item and take it to the other end of the map. There's like a control point mode as well. But these are all in the ranked section. So for your normal section, it's just the turf war.
Yeah. And once you reach level 10, you can then go into the ranked one, which is a little bit more competitive. Winning gets you up, you know, from a C to a B to an A rating with pluses and minuses. And losing brings you down. So it's a bit more serious, but a lot of fun.
And then every level you gain in the game, you get access to new clothes and new weapons and different loadouts.
Yeah, the progression is awesome. The outfits are hectic. It reminds me a lot of Watch Dogs 2 with the outfits and how much there is. And the style, like it's very stylish, like the clothes and the shoes and the hair and hats. And if you've played Watch Dogs 2, you'll know exactly what I mean straight away. And that there's so many options, more than you expect, and they keep coming up.
Yep.
And they're not just pretty too, like every bit of clothing has strategic elements to them and loadouts, and they make you run faster or reload quicker or use less ink with your guns. It's pretty awesome. I really love all that kind of stuff.
The whole game screams fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Like just from the whole game is so colorful.
Yep.
Like not just the paint, but the characters themselves. The music has that colorful feel to it as well. There's sort of constant happiness theme to it. Like even when I'm losing.
Yes.
You know, it's fun.
Well, the matches are 3 minutes long instead of like a 12-minute normal shooter match sort of.
Yeah, so you're not getting slaughtered for 12 minutes. It's like, okay, sometimes 2 minutes in, you know you're pretty much going to lose the match.
Yep.
But you're like, it's only another minute to go. And then, boom, back to the menu and back in you go again.
And re-strategize, set up again and change things around.
Well, there's a single player campaign as well with 26 stages.
The single player in this is awesome.
It teaches you how to play the game. It pretty much takes you through each weapon and shows you different situations on when those weapons may be useful or not.
Yeah.
There are some boss battles as well.
Yeah. And just traversing the map is like a puzzle in itself.
Yeah, exactly. And also you can get items from there, which is going to help you in your multiplayer, like giving you extra experience points or extra coins and money.
Yeah.
So it's actually worthwhile doing as well. It's not just like, it's just a little mini game on single player. It's actually worthwhile going through the whole campaign to the end to get all these like extra little bonuses and just to learn little intricacies about the game.
Yeah. That's so true. And like it's all of it is so much fun as well. Like none of it feels like a slog. It feels Super Nintendo-y as well. Like everything is fun, but everything is brilliant. It's all so clever and so satisfying to complete, which is just something that Nintendo seem to nail all the time.
Yep. Then there's the Horde mode, which is called Salmon Run.
Yes.
And in that, you're in a team of four, and you have to get these eggs from these salmon creatures that are like coming in from the beach,
and they have armor
and then there's like boss versions that you gotta eight bosses
and they teach you how to take them down,
all got a different strategy on how to defeat them.
Yep.
And so you gotta work as a team and get through several waves, and then through that you get points, you level up in that mode, and then that unlocks extra rewards like extra clothes and extra experience points and extra coins, etc.
Yeah, and I love in that one, when there's a team of four of you, you have a couple of rounds, but every round you're forced to use a different weapon. And then
that's right.
The team of four each have different weapons, and it's really also sort of encouraging having a range of weapons in a team and seeing how that can be useful in a fight or a team sort of setup.
And Salmon Run's not easy. It's actually quite hard.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you at the first wave, you're like, this is pretty easy. But eventually, you almost get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to run away from fights because there was just so much happening. With, like, 10 seconds on the clock, I've just ran in the opposite direction. Yeah. So, would have someone survive to get through to the next round.
And also, as a just as a random game train hint for you, there's all different kind of loadouts you can get in weapons. But if you can find the one that makes you run a bit faster and take less damage in enemy ink, that's a very useful one in Salmon Run that I found, because you get overwhelmed with these salmon leaving their color of ink all around the stage, because everywhere they crawl and run, they just leave it everywhere. And when you're just trying to escape for freedom, a lot of the times I find myself just dying because of that, just being slowed down by all the ink everywhere that I can't manage to recover with my own color.
The disappointing thing with Salmon Run is that it's a timed event. Like, every day or 2 days will pop up for 12 hours, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating, because it started at 10 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
So we lost most of the night not being able to play it.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's true. The whole game kind of runs like that, which is interesting. Like, in the multiplayer, there's timed levels. You can only sort of battle between two different stages for, what is it, an hour at a time?
2 hours, I think.
Yeah, okay. And then they switch. It's a very interesting way of dispersing the levels and making you not get sick of them.
Yep.
It is different how they only let you play, like, in the normal matches and the ranked matches. So in, like, a regular match, they'll announce every 2 hours, they'll say, okay, the maps have changed, you're now going back and forth between these two. But if you go to ranked, there's two different ones. And then you play those modes for 2 hours, and then it switches it up. So it keeps it fresh, but then, and you don't just kind of keep playing the same level over and over and over all day sometimes, you know, like, but you do get enough time to really get into certain ones that you like. I don't know. I think it's a very fresh and interesting way of doing it.
What was annoying for me is that the extra game modes are only in ranked, and yeah, they weren't in unranked mode.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I got to ranked mode finally, there's these new game modes. I didn't know what to do. The first one I did was the tower one, how a guy has to stand on the tower and a tower moves.
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
I had no idea what was going on. Okay. I had no idea. I'm like, what is this? And then we lost the match. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. Like, I feel like they should have been in the, maybe like every second match you do one of these other game modes, so it's just not turf war. And there is no turf war in ranked either, which is strange because it's the mode that you've been, that you probably end up playing the most in the game, but they don't have it in ranked mode.
Which is, I mean, it's always available, of course, in regular mode, but I don't know if an update will change that and make you able to choose other things, because I'd love to play those other modes in regular mode where I don't have the stress of, if I lose, I get ranked lower.
Yeah, exactly. And then that brings us to our next point.
Oh, yep.
So, it's a team-based game. It's a 4v4 game.
Yep.
What's the best thing about team-based games?
Hanging out with your friends.
Yes, and strategizing together to beat your opponents, right? Yes,
the communication,
right? So we're like, the other day we're like, all right, let's play some games together. So we jump on, and we couldn't figure it out at first. We're like, what do we do here? And then it's like, Carl's in a game, so I can hit join Carl's game. So, but then it says, oh, the game's full, so I have to wait 3 minutes.
Yep.
And then at the end of those 3 minutes, I get to join the game. But then Carl and I put on opposite teams. I'm like, well, I enjoy kicking Carl's ass, but...
That's fine.
Yep.
We'll see, okay.
Because he's the best opponent to beat.
We'll see.
Yep.
I'll leave it there.
For this exercise, I wanted to be on his team. I wanted to play with him, not against him, and keep beating him, because that gets boring.
I also wanted to be on Callan's team and just sort of help him through the game and spoon feed him a bit.
But in all seriousness... Then the next game we were on the same team, and then a couple of games later we're on opposite teams again.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, so we can't make a party. And we're like, oh, but wait, Nintendo released a new online app.
Of course.
Where you can make lobbies together. That sounds great. So after a lot of messing around with that,
yep,
of us creating lobbies and trying to work out how to join it, we finally got in a lobby together. We're like, all right, let's have a game. Oh, it's just us two in the lobby. Okay. So yeah, we go in, and then it's 1v1. And yeah, so we're just shooting each other. I'm kicking his ass again. I'm like, well, I just don't want to kick your ass for an hour.
I was standing still texting. because that's how much fun I was having. And then we got another one of my friends,
yep,
Ben Schuster, in there. Shout out to Ben. Hello. Thanks for trying. He jumped in.
It was 2v1.
None of us could talk to each other. We're just all, yep, sitting in there. I just texted and say, hey, jump on. And he's like, oh, we'll see what happens. And then he's like, oh, both of you guys against me. And I like just felt like we were bullying him. I'm like, well, no. I was hoping we could all link up and then go be almost a full party.
Yep.
And do something like...
And go online against a random people. Like in every other multiplayer game out there.
No such luck. There was just like two of us shooting him, and it was the end of the game. And
what it creates is just a private game. So if you want to have a full game, you've got to make a private game with seven other people.
Yeah.
I don't know seven other people with Switches and Splatoon 2 at the moment.
I don't know seven other people. So please, listeners, if anyone's out there, say hello to me. Ask me how my day is. I'm so lonely.
But it's like, hang on a second. So I want to do a full V4 game online with my friends against randoms. I can't do this. Because if we all queue up, as I call it, piggybacking, where you jump on someone else's game, into someone else's game,
yeah,
you're going to be split across teams.
At random.
At random. Or you're in your private room where you need 7 friends.
Yeah.
And you're not playing against randoms.
And I'm not going to lie, that would, of course, be unreal fun.
But like, it would be so much fun.
For the planets to align, you have to like make an event and make it your 40th birthday party and invite everyone over and bring snacks, like just to have a decent game of Splatoon 2 online.
It's just frustrating. Like, this game is all about multiplayer. You know, there is single player in it, but the main game is the multiplayer shooter element. And the fact that Nintendo haven't addressed this and allowed you to make a team that you can go in and play with in regular turf mode, turf war mode, etc., is just frustrating. Like, and then let's talk about their actual app with this, where this is their voice communication thing. So you've got to be in the same lobby on the same team to be able to use this. Why don't I just call Carl on my phone?
Yeah, well, I mean, the only upside is that it separates you if there was, like, you know, 8 of you on that app, and then if you're all in like a group chat on the phone, you'd all be able to hear each other at all times. And
that,
the idea is
that's true. That but sometimes you want to yell at your friends as well that are on the opposition team.
Exactly. So I mean, that's all it's really adding, which is cool and interesting as well. But I mean, I'm sure that, you know, probably trying to think of systems that will help save the battery in the Switch, which is why they're probably not letting you just plug a mic straight into the Switch.
Give us the option of any of both. Like, give us the option. I'd love to be able to just plug a mic in, make a group in-game, and then talk to you straight through that microphone. Now, make it so you can, you know, only talk to your direct party member. So, friggin' Sniper Neil out there can't just jump on the microphone and just abuse his teammates or whatever, like in Call of Duty.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I think Nintendo don't want that.
Because that's what they're trying to avoid. Yeah, yeah,
they're trying to avoid. Okay, but Carl and I want to be in a party together and talk to each other. Why can't I just plug a microphone into that control, invite Carl into my group, and then we go and play against randoms online? That would make this game, like, so, so good. And I feel that's where its biggest downfall is right now. Also, is when you jump into a game, and after each game, it takes you back to the lobby. And then the timer counts down, bang, you go off again. Well, you can't actually change weapons or your loadout while on that screen. You have to exit the whole lobby and go back.
And then rematchmake again.
And then you got to find a new bunch of people to play with. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If you're enjoying it, why can't I just switch from, like, the dual pistols to the bucket of paint?
Yeah, just to give it a go. Sometimes you just want to...
Yeah.
Or you see someone else using something effectively and go, oh, okay, I get the idea. Now, I want a little turn of that, maybe just one or two games. But then you have to disappear from that whole crew. And it's so hard to get a nice crew together. So...
Another mode I would have liked to see is a way to level up without playing against people online. Because the first 4 levels of the game, you've got the basic gun. You can't get any other guns until level 4. Yep. Now, I would have liked to just see maybe a mode against bots, so you could have learn the maps a bit, play against the bots, level up to level 4. Because what was frustrating is, even on the first day when I jumped in, some people had gotten the game early. So they're coming out with, like, the buckets of paint and things like this. And I'm like, what? How are you getting all these other weapons when I had to level up to level 4, which doesn't take too long, but takes long enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's true.
And they had this little advantage over you at the start of you playing. Like, give me a bot mode so I can go, all right, and play the same turf mode against bots. In saying all that, I really want to give this game a 9 out of 10 because I feel like that's what the game is.
Yeah.
But because of all these multiplayer shenanigans, I'm only giving it an 8 because it's just unforgivable that in this day and age, you cannot make a party with your friends and play against randoms online.
Yep. Yep. That's very true. I think this is one of the funnest games I've played in a long time. Nintendo have just nailed it. I would have wanted to give it a 10. I don't want to blame Splatoon because I think they're doing, like, you know, that's, I mean, it is Nintendo as well, but the game's development is not really the console's development, which really sucks because that's something else. They're promising us their own online experience, their proper one, later in the year. So I'm hoping that fixes some things. I'm not overly optimistic, but yeah, I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10 because I think it still deserves that. Even with this, I would have given it a 10, to be honest. I just love this game and I've been waking up wanting to play it and, you know, playing it into the night, and I haven't done that in a long time. So, yeah, 9 carriages out of 10 for me. Bam, that's Splatoon 2. All right, we're going to jump in real quick now to our new segment, one of our new segments that we added last episode called Backtrack. And that's where we just jump back and see some interesting things that have happened this week in the history of games.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
On July 26th, so today, in 1967, until that date, we lived in a world where there was no Tim Schafer. No Day of the Tentacle, no Secret of Monkey Island, no adventure games as we know them at all today. This was the day that Tim Schafer was born. I have to say that because Monkey Island is one of my all-time favorite gaming series, and this guy is brilliant at making games and one of the funniest people in the industry. Another one that happened, which I found really interesting, on August 1, which is kind of next week, but I mean, we don't do this except for every 2 weeks, so I'm going to stretch it a bit. In 1992, Kirby's Dream Land is released for the Game Boy in North America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and now I got some interesting information here. Kirby was portrayed as white in the artwork for the Western territories, and that was apparently due to confusion over his color. His creator, Masahiro Sakurai, always intended for Kirby to be pink. However, Shigeru Miyamoto thought Kirby should be yellow. Nintendo of America didn't know what to do, so they just made Kirby white. Kirby's official color wouldn't be seen outside of Japan until Kirby's Adventure on the Nintendo Entertainment System. So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Huh. I thought it was just because of the colors in the Game Boy being that black and white sort of color that...
No, I mean, you know, that never stops them from making outrageous colors on game art and cover art.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, wow.
But yeah, interesting. I mean, Shigeru Miyamoto wanted him to be yellow. Isn't that funny? I don't know. Yeah. He'd be so weird at yellow. It'd be like a little sun running around or like a lemon.
Yeah, pink just suits him.
I guess we wouldn't know any better. Pink is weird, but, well, like it could be, but it's Kirby. Kirby's pink. And it works so well because he's like this death machine.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's Backtrack. All right, let's move on to the passenger questions. We got a couple this episode, so we'll smash through them. Our first question comes from Sir Ronson Johnson Pickles. firstly, Callan wants you to know if you've found Nax yet, because apparently he's still searching. But he asks us this. He says, "Boys, I have a question. I regard your opinion highly, so here it is. Do I buy a Switch? And if so, what game would you buy to play with your significant other?" I like that question a lot.
Yeah, well, I'd say yes, go buy a Switch.
Yes, I say hell yeah to the Switch. That is one of the greatest consoles to come out in ages. That thing is brilliant.
I'd say Mario Kart, not Splatoon 2, because you can't play co-op on the one machine.
Yeah, well, you know, that's quite obvious.
Yep.
I'd say Mario Kart as well. That's been one of my favorites to play with my significant other, except she kills me at it, which is a bit embarrassing. But I also had so much fun with Super Bomberman R and Puyo Puyo Tetris, the Tetris half at least, and both of these games because the whole game happens in one screen, which is just so much fun to play side by side with someone. And both these games, like, I mean, Tetris is just an age-old puzzle game that's already just perfect the way it is. And Bomberman kind of feels like that as well. That's just one of the most sort of fun, silly multiplayer experiences I've ever had, even now. So those are the games I'd recommend for sure. Our next question comes from Reef Atkin, and he asks, "What game got you starting in gaming?"
That's a hard one.
That is not a hard one.
I don't think it's any one... For me, it's not one particular game. Like...
No?
Some of my earliest memories of gaming was like Space Invaders and Mario and stuff, but I don't know what was the first one that I just went, "Oh, I like games."
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's it's hard to see which games sold you on the culture of video games.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it was easier for me because I was in the Solomon Islands and I didn't have a lot of other games to do. So we had, you know, I've talked about it before on the show. We had the Atari 2600 and I had a bunch of games, but I played Frostbite on it from Activision, which you play as a guy called Frostbite Bailey and you jump around collecting ice. And I had nothing else for ages. So a lot of part of my early childhood was playing that and figuring it out and falling in love with it. And I think that was a huge part of me getting into games. And then the next obvious jump was Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo Entertainment System that I played with my friend Deggs. Yep. And that was it for me.
For me, as I said before, I don't know, I can't really think of any one game. Space Invaders was the first game I had on the Atari. Along with tennis, but I wouldn't say tennis got me into it.
No, that's true.
And then a neighbor had Super Mario Brothers that I used to live next door to.
Yeah.
A long time ago. Snake, he had on Commodore 64. I remember playing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, like the one on the mobile.
Yeah. But on like a Commodore 64, and that was like the thing. You put like a proper floppy disk in and all this to boot it up. It was mental.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. What else? Probably Mario. It was that game that, would go to someone's house and they'd have a Nintendo and they'd have Mario and you'd play Mario.
Yeah, and like, it just wins you over. Yeah. Hey, it's like
Space Invaders and Mario would be probably the two. Space Invaders, the first game I owned on that Atari, and Mario, the game that everyone seemed to have that had a Nintendo.
Nice. All right. Well, that's our listener questions. If you have any questions, guys, please send them to us. We'd love to answer them. Just send them to facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast and message us or write it on any of the comments. We'll see it and we'll answer it in the next episode. And that's time to say goodbye, which leads us to our last final segment, the Hype Train Lame Train segment.
Oh, yes. All right. Let's lame train it up.
Let's do it. Now, okay. I'm just going to do mine first because I think everyone listening knows what yours is.
I think they do.
Mine is a pretty simple one, and it's close to my heart, but my lame train is my cold, lonely Xbox Elite controller. I truly miss playing on that thing. It was nice to be able to jump in and play a little bit of Forza Horizon 3, but besides that, I miss playing that console. It's my favorite one, and I miss using that controller, which I chopped off one of my arms to buy. So that's my lame train. Whatever is yours, Callum?
Oh, I don't know. Nintendo's whole online platform at the moment. I'm not going to go into it because I've already gone through it all in the Splatoon feature review, but that's my lame train. Like, it's 2017. Allow us to make a group and play against randoms online. The end.
Yeah, that is fair enough.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Hype train.
Boom. What is your hype train this episode?
Okay, my hype train this episode. Last night, I finished, finally, Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I could have spoken about it earlier, but the game's a few years old now, so I didn't bother. But I went through, I 100%ed the game.
I thought you weren't enjoying it.
No, there are some things I did not enjoy, but I'm not going to go into that. What I'm now hyped about after finishing that game and seeing where the ending went, I am now actually hyped for Shadow of War, which is the sequel coming out October 10 on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Nice.
So I'm pretty excited for that. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so my hype train is I just recently bought the extra dock for the Switch, and I love this thing. It was $129, and I think it is so worth it. You actually get you get the HDMI cable, and the power supply, which you can charge anything up with, and the dock itself. So you're getting a whole bunch of stuff in there. It's not just like one tiny thing for $130. But even so, I think it is so worth it. I bought it so I could travel and keep one in my bag, and that anywhere I go that has a TV, I can just plug my Switch into. But when I'm at home, I set it up in my spare room with my other TV in it. And I just think, like, everyone talks about the Switch and Nintendo for being like a little step behind with the next generation, but this is as next-gen as I've ever felt gaming. It just feels unreal. I'll be playing a game. I'll be playing, like, Splatoon, and then I'll be sitting out there in the main room with the big screen, and my girlfriend will get home from work. She'll have a shower. She'll want to chill out. I'll just, you know, be like, oh, you want to watch some Netflix or something in this room? Cool, no problem. Soon as I die, I just yank the Switch out, and then the game starts again quite quickly, so I'm playing it in my hands, and as soon as I die again, even mid-match, I just slot it into the other room, and it's on that big screen, sit on the couch, and continue playing like nothing happened. And it's just the coolest experience. I love it. I think that's really made me enjoy the Switch for what it is even more. Like, oh, it's just amazing. I love this thing. I'm so impressed. So yeah, as you can tell, that's definitely my hype train.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's us this episode.
Yeah, that's it.
Next time, when we come back for the next episode of Game Train, we'll be doing a special indie episode. And we're going to have a double feature featuring only indie games and games we've been playing. And we're going to try and find you a bit of facts and some bits and pieces in history. But we're going to try and keep it all about the indies, because things are about to get serious this year.
Yeah, from mid-August onwards, that's when all your big AAAs start dropping. So we thought, you know what? We'll give one back to the indie game companies out there. Review a couple of indie games, talk about some indie games. Keep it all indie before the AAA juggernauts start rolling out.
That's it. So jump in, you know. And if you got any indie-related questions, you know, send them our way as well. Like I said, facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast. We'll chuck those in, but ask us anything. We don't care, you know. Ask us why Callan's so bad at Splatoon. Anything you want to ask is really free.
Beat you at Splatoon.
I was texting. Okay, so that's us this week. Thanks again so much to everyone who has been listening to the show. And welcome and thank you to the new listeners and passengers aboard the Game Train.
Oh, and one last thing. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast on iTunes or Podbean, please do. And leave a review for us as well. It helps greatly.
That really helps us out, actually.
Yeah, it'd be great if you guys could, you know, subscribe, review, all those things for us. It'd be fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Bye.